This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Three San Antonio schools are the top three local public schools, there, according to the U.S. News and World Report in their 2017 list of best high school rankings. They are the Young Women's Leadership Academy at SAISD, the International School of the Americas, NEISD, and the Health Careers High School, NISD. We're talking about them this afternoon to see what it is about these schools that seems to tick. What can we learn from them? How can we inspire excellence in our high school students all across San Antonio and across Texas? We invite you into the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. We all think our kids' high school is the best, but we're finding out, at least according to the U.S. News and World Report, is that the Young Women's Leadership Academy is the tops in San Antonio. We're joined by the principal, Delia McLaren. Also with us is Steve Magadance. He is the principal of the International School of the Americas, and Linda Burke, principal of Health Careers High School. Welcome, all of y'all. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
So, Delia, let me ask you about Young Women's Leadership Academy. So this is a public school.
Yes.
All girls high school here in San Antonio.
Yes, it is.
How does that work?
We are a 6 through 12 college prep program, and we are what is designated as an internal charter school here in San Antonio ISD. And what that means is that we're allowed to have great autonomy when it comes to instructional strategies, curriculum, scope and sequence, our schedule. And with that autonomy, we've been able to do some amazing things on our campus. Our core values for this school are college prep. So our mission statement is to have 100% of our students college ready for when they go to college, they will not be taking remedial courses. And then the other core values are leadership development, which we are huge on, and health and wellness.
Leadership development, what does that mean?
Leadership development is teaching every young woman starting in the sixth grade. Actually, before that, they have summer camp with us before school starts in the sixth grade to find their voice, to be a contributing member of our community, whether it's in our school, whether it's in their neighborhoods, or whether it's in San Antonio. And we know that as they grow older and they finish college, that they're going to go on to be our future leaders. And we hope that they come back to San Antonio, because that is our end goal, that we're able to produce a great working force and a great, a great pool of leaders that will be able to take our San Antonio to the next stage.
So it's not just in the name, you know, Young Women's Leadership Academy. You take that leadership part of the name very seriously.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, also with this, let me ask you, Steve, over the principal for the International School of the Americas at NEISD, what is the International School of the Americas?
It is a small public magnet high school. It's grades 9 through 12. We're actually hosted on one of our comprehensive campuses, Lee High School. We share space with them. We focus on what it means to be a global citizen in our world, understanding our place in the world, understanding ways that we can look at things through multiple perspectives, communicate ideas about those challenges and those things that we face, and then take action to try and create positive change in our neighborhoods.
How does that find its way into a classroom?
It's a great question. I mean, our students take their core classes with us at ISA. So they're math, science, social studies, and English. They're in-house with our teachers. And so we've developed, through partnerships, a graduate profile that takes some of those components of asking students to investigate the world around them, asking them to, you know, recognize different perspectives around different issues that they investigate, understanding and communicating about the ideas they learn about, and then ultimately this taking action piece. So you have a lot of what we'll call project or problem based kinds of learning units where students are doing that investigation. They're working collaboratively then to address a real world or authentic question or challenge, and then they come up with plans or action plans to create that positive change. And that's the take action piece. And they do a lot of student exhibitions where students are talking about their learning, or they're sharing their plan, or they're talking about the results of the plan that they develop.
So how do the students think that what they're doing at the school, and it sounds exciting and interesting, of course it would be very, you know, engaging How do they think that's going to help them in life? Are they all thinking they're going to become diplomats or work in the Foreign Service?
No, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think we've gotten that reputation. But I think what we try to imbue in our students is this idea that they can learn how to learn. They can learn how to navigate systems. They can learn how to work collaboratively with people, especially sometimes people they may not always agree with or maybe understand at first. And so they become that, what we'd say, is a 21st century learner and have some of those soft skills that allow them to navigate systems and be successful in the future, no matter what their future holds.
Linda Burke, principal of Health Careers High School at NISD. Is this is where you want to go to high school if you want to be a doctor?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
We are a school. We are also a magnet school. However, we do take students from all over this area. We have students from 14 different school districts and 4 different counties.
All right. So how does you show up day one, you're a freshman, you say, I want to be a doctor. When do I get my white coat? How does that, where are they going with that?
Well, they won't get their white coats while they're at Health Careers, but they will get scrubs their junior year and senior year to go out to the various medical sites with our multiple partnerships that offer our students the opportunity to do internships and clinical rotations at their facilities.
So you're incorporated already in high school with the Health Science Center?
Yes, we are. We are have many close partnerships with various hospitals. We are actually located in the medical center. The property was donated by the San Antonio Medical Foundation about 33 years ago, and so those we have long partnerships, and our students are able to go out into those medical facilities and do clinical rotations, whether that be at the hospital or the UT Health Science Center, and do research with the folks there at the UT Health Science Center.
So is it fair to ask someone when you're a freshman to decide what their career is going to be, and then they have to choose whether or not to they want to be a young mover and shaker, politician, if they're a female at the Young Women's Leadership Academy, if they decide they want to be an international man or woman of mystery, go to the International School of the Americas, or if they want to be a doctor or a surgeon or a nurse or someone working in medical administration, they go to Health Careers. I mean,
well, while that's a focus of our school, we are also a very structured, high-performing college prep course program, and our kids leave there going to some of the top universities in the nation. They do not have to stay. We look at it as a great opportunity for students. As they come in, they say they want to be in the medical, they think they want to be in the medical field. However, it's also a wonderful way to decide maybe that's not for you. And so while we have about 65% of our kids that do go on into a medical field, there are those students that decide that maybe that's not the right place for you, and they maybe take advantage of our computer science program or some of our other journalism or other programs that we offer our students.
We're talking about 3 San Antonio local public high schools, and they scored at the top of for the San Antonio Best High School ranking in the U.S. News and World Report. They checked out 22,000 public high schools across America for their annual Best High Schools rankings, and 13 San Antonio schools made that list in 2017. Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment, if you've had experiences with any of these schools, or you even questioned the validity of this report from U.S. News and World Report, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this quick break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Young Women's Leadership Academy, International School of the Americas, and Health Career High School here in San Antonio have bragging rights. They topped the local list for the U.S. News and World Report. Their study, their collection, their analysis of the best high school rankings here in San Antonio. 13 San Antonio high schools made the 2017 list, and we're talking about that this afternoon. We invite you into the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. And Mike is on the line. And Mike, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. My question is for the Young Women's Leadership Academy and how, the way you phrased it earlier, when we say, how can other schools learn, learn off models such as that? My question is, with in respect to SAISD, it's a very underperforming, extremely underperforming district, yet we have this Young Women's Leadership Academy that, you know, ahead of most schools in Texas. When you're handpicking, or not handpicking, or when there's a process to get into the school, does that create a void within the other high schools, causing them to become even lower underperforming, where those kids at Young Women's Academy would traditionally be at a traditional high school, therefore raising up the rest of the high school? And if that's a real fair comparison to make between Young Women and the rest of SAISD, so to speak.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. That's a good point. But there are other SAISD schools that did make the 13 top schools in this list, like Fox Tech High School was mm-hmm. also included.
Travis
are included in that as well. But to the point, Delia, as principal of the Young Women's Leadership Academy, you have an admission process. Mm-hmm. You had students have to get letters of recommendation. They have to write an essay. They have to pass a test. You know, it's you do have that standard.
Yes. So the way YWLA was set up is we are part of a statewide network, the Young Women's Prep Network. And that MOU that they established with each of the urban districts is set up that students have to meet certain criteria. And within that, we are not what the misconception is that we're cherry picking. And if you look at our data in the past cohort, we had 21% of our students that came in two grade levels below. So our job is to meet students where they are and to bring them in. The difference between our school and the other high schools is that we have students that start with us in the sixth grade, and we're able to work with them straight from sixth grade all the way to 12th grade. So we are always looking at our vertical alignment when it comes to our instructional program. When the students come in, we're not looking for students that are all A. We are looking for students that we have students that come in and have this incredible drive. They're self-disciplined, self-motivated. Part of the process is to have an interview. So I can see where that would be the misconception, but in looking at our data, you can see that we do have students that come in below grade level in the sixth grade. We also take students from all over Bexar County, and when you're taking in students from different elementary schools, they're coming in with different habits, study habits, and our job is to get them all uniformed. And we do things, whether it's teaching them how to take Cornell notes in the sixth grade, but the best thing that we can do is have the same high expectations for all of our students. And when we're committing to having them all college prep, we're committing to a pre-AP curriculum in the middle school program, an AP curriculum and dual credit in the high school program. It's also a very accelerated program. And in speaking with parents as to what is it that we do that helps their daughter succeed, one of the things that I consistently hear is the support of the teachers. So in making sure that we are hiring the right type of teacher, and we do hire men. I know that the question is there any male teachers on campus? Yes, we do. But it's about everybody working together to do whatever it takes for the students, whether it's in middle school or all the way to high school.
Okay, and but there is this expectation of success that is at the school. In the hallway, there are banners for
Yes. Colleges
and universities, and mm-hmm. it's kind of like this is, and there's all sorts of motivational explanation to the students saying, you can do this, this is achievable, we will find how you can fund and you can make it to these schools. So being able to lay out for these students, maybe they're the first generation who may be going to college, And achieve higher ed, that there is somebody there who can help them on that path.
Yes. So in our last graduating cohort last year, we had 78% of them that were first in family to attend college. And when they go to college, we're not done with them when they graduate from YWLA. We keep tabs on our students. We invite them back in January. We have what's called an alumni luncheon. And we do that because we want to know, what are we doing that's working and what are we doing that we still need to refine? And with that feedback from our graduates, then we work on whether it's going back to our chemistry curriculum and knowing, okay, we have gaps here, we have gaps there. And so we're always looking to see what can we do better. And when we invite them back, there are some things that students consistently tell us that we need to keep doing. And it's as simple as having a school-wide program. We are very big on AVID, but it's a school-wide program for reading in the summer. Having summer camps every year, whether it's sixth grade through 12th grade, to to get them that jump start on their curriculum.
So do you think that other public schools, you know, that are boys and girls that are out there, Lanier, all the other public schools we have here in San Antonio that we all love and want to succeed, can learn from that?
They can replicate. I know that some of our schools in SAISD, for example, have already started to have summer camps. They have also started to give summer homework. But it's working also with community partners who are going to support that mission. We have been very blessed in working with UT Health Science Program. They have an incredible biomedical program that our students are a part of. So it's not just that, you know, for us, College Prep is working, as was mentioned earlier, to give our students the opportunity to find their passion. But when you have partners in the community that are supporting that, it's absolutely doable.
Okay, we're talking about three San Antonio public high schools that are at the top of the list from the U.S. News and World Report, looking at the best high schools here in San Antonio. Back to the phone lines with David. And David, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thanks. This is a great subject, and it's near and dear to our family. At Health Careers High School, they have a lottery. And going back to the prior caller about cherry-picking the students, that's not the case at Health Careers. I believe it's still just a C average in middle school that you need, but when you, I want to say, win the lottery to get chosen to go to Health Careers, I think that's better than winning the lottery from, you know, buying a lottery ticket, because it's something that you could lose all that money tomorrow if you win the lottery, but what you gain at Health Careers or any of these three schools, you take with you forever. And I make the analogy that Health Careers and International School of Americas and the girls, the women's school, they treat the education or the subject matter like many of the big high schools treat football. You know, if the practice is so hard that the game is easy, my kids, when they went off to college, the curriculum was so strenuous, the amount of homework, the attention was such that college is easy, and I don't see this sort of how would you call it, the statistic on this, but I would venture to say that, you know, the colleges publish graduation rates after 6 years. I would say that most of the kids that graduate from these schools graduate in 4 years, if not sooner, because when my children graduated from Health Careers High School, they had a number of college credits already from AP or dual credit classes,
yes.
And they did not go into the school as the best and the brightest, but they sure left the school the best and the brightest. So I am...
Congratulations, David. I'm glad to hear that you were able to get some great outcomes and that both of your kids were able to win that lottery and graduate from the Health Careers. But that is concerning that there is a lottery. That means that there are people who could go to this school, who wanted to go to this school, and they're left out. There's still more demand than there are desks. So to talk about the lottery, how many people put in their chip and how many people actually get out?
Our lottery is... as fair as we can make it. And we work very, very hard at that. We have about 900, it averages 900 to 1,100 applications each year, and we accept enough students to have a freshman class of 250.
Wow. So that means one out of three kind of not making it
right,
in?
Right, but I'm very, our district is very supportive of that. While we have expanded, there is a huge interest in this community. We are a medical city, one of the top medical centers in the state and the country. But our district has had the foresight, because of this situation, that we've expanded healthcare offerings and the opportunity for students to study healthcare and those into many of our comprehensive high schools.
So what happens to the students who don't make it? Who lose the lottery?
Well, they get to go to one of the outstanding Northside high schools, the 10 other comprehensive high schools that are also highly ranked.
And are your chances weighted in any way?
No, they're not. It's a blind computerized lottery. We, the caller mentioned the fact that, and it's one of the things we're the most proud of, like Young Women's Academy, we do not cherry pick the applicants. You just have to have a C average in your core, good grades, good test scores. But yet our students are very successful, and that's due to the incredibly hard work that our teachers do.
Okay, another caller, Mary. Hi, Mary. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks so much for taking my call. I came in a little late, so y'all, I hear you addressing some of this, but if you could repeat. I have a seventh grade boy who's in AP classes right now, and I'm hearing that you're working with students as early as sixth grade, so I'm curious why I mean, I've not heard about that before now, and I'm in a Northside school of district. And then just in general terms about the application process, once, you know, I'm interested in having my son possibly apply to one of the schools, how does that start?
Okay, Mary.
How does that process start?
Okay, good question. So are all y'all, do y'all all have middle schools or all just
no,
high schools?
I do.
Only
I
you
do.
With the Young Leadership Academy.
Young since Women's, it's, yes.
So but since it's a boy, we're going to sing over to him. So what can they do? What should Mary know about trying to get her son into one of y'all's schools? How does that?
Well, one of the things that we're actually getting ready to begin is begins talking to students all around our district in the sixth grade to let those students know the hard work and the things that they should focus on, which would be their STAR testing, take as many pre-AP classes as you can. All of those, not that that would give them an advantage, particularly in the lottery, but it would be and their advantage for their education. What we do is in January each year, we begin taking applications, and then we also recruited all of our middle schools, and we hold multiple open houses for those students that are out of our district, information sessions, and so those people can make an informed decision if this is the right school that they would like to attend.
Steve, over at International School of the Americas, how do you get in?
Same process, same lottery that's open to, you know, current eighth graders. It opens up in the fall.
How many people apply?
We probably had just around 300 applications for the 125 seats that we offer as our ninth grade year. And I mean, to jump on what Linda was saying about the previous caller's question, I encourage students to continue to be curious, to continue to think about how they ask questions and how they, you know, investigate text and how they just continue to be curious about the world around them and to participate in some of the experiences that exist at the school. So we hold recruiting sessions at the middle schools in the Northeast ISD. We also hold shadowing experiences for students who want to have an idea of the experience that they might have on a daily basis at ISA. So we encourage families to participate in those things as well.
Delia, over at Young Women's Leadership Academy, how many people apply? How many girls apply?
For our incoming sixth grade class, we have about two students for every one spot. We admit 100 incoming sixth graders. We do take applications for seventh through ninth grade, and that depends on how many spaces are available. But I did want to encourage the parent of this young man. One of the things that I would recommend is look at the websites on every district. For example, in SAISD, we have a Young Men's Leadership Academy that starts in the fourth grade. And every one of these schools has an incredible opportunity for students in really all of Bexar County. And the opportunity would be to visit the campus. For example, anybody who wants to tour YWLA can come on a Monday. We just ask that parents either email or contact the school, because it's important that it be a right fit, whether it's a school that we're looking for or whether it's a college. We always encourage students to visit the school to make sure it's a right fit for both the family and the parent.
We're taking a two-minute break here. We'll come back. We have a lot of callers, got a lot of questions. We'll continue our conversation looking at San Antonio's three top public high schools. What's their secret sauce? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the Cardinals, the Phoenix, and the Rebels?
The Globies.
The Globies.
Fighting Globies.
The Fighting Globies. Those are the mascots for three local San Antonio public high schools, the top three San Antonio public high schools, as selected by the current survey by the U.S. News and World Report. And let's get back to some of these great callers. We have so many of them. Carol is on the line. Hi, Carol. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. My son goes, he is a junior at ISA, and I could not be happier with the school. The school not only reinforces the responsibility and the awareness that they have in a global setting, but they also involve them in ways that perhaps other schools don't. They every year they have a special assignment, whether it's making a difference or an advocacy fair where they advocate for groups that have been marginalized around the world. Every year they take a trip to complement their education. And the last trip that he took was a trip to Mississippi and to learn about the civil rights movement. And I asked him, you know, did you learn anything that you didn't already know? Because I didn't know what he could have learned firsthand by being there. And he says, I cannot even begin to explain to you what I've witnessed, what I've learned, and how that's changed me as a person. And I was really impressed with what he shared and how it impacted him as a person.
Well, Carol, thank you so much for that call. Well, let me ask you, the principal was right here in front of me, Steve Magadance, principal of the International School of the Americas, the Fightin' Globies. So right now, the temperament of the nation is anti-globalism, and the school was born out of the North American Free Trade Agreement, and suddenly that's come under examination. So are you feeling are the walls closing in on the intellectual space that gave birth to the International School of the Americas?
You know, I think some days it feels like that's a possibility. I think creates the fruit for great conversation, especially amongst our faculty and amongst our students. So when students start looking at things, I mean, you start talking about the buzz phrases like fake news and bias and things that go around with that. I mean, how do we teach our students to evaluate sources, to evaluate news? And I think that so it creates beautiful opportunity for students to begin to understand some of the sources of rhetoric and to understand the perspectives of it. I talked a little bit earlier about that, and the caller, thank you for selling ISA, talked about, you know, that fact that we take students outside of the classroom and we believe that learning happens beyond the bricks and mortar structure that our students attend every day. So if we can take them to a place and help them understand a perspective around a particular area of history or a challenge that we're facing, I think we're all the better because we're creating an educated society that then can ask the questions and do it in a kind, gentle way to help make sure all voices are heard, all legitimate voices are heard.
All right, another caller. We've got a lot of calls. I'm going to try and get them all on. Sean. Hi, Sean. Welcome to The Source. You're on there.
Hi. I'm just calling. I'm a proud Phoenix Health Careers alumni, and I wanted to comment on my experience and experience of others. I know someone mentioned that if you end up going to these schools, are you forced into going to that profession? I think that notion is false. I myself may have gone to health careers, and I'm currently a medical student at the Health Science Center, but many of my classmates did not. You know, we have people who joined the Business Professional Organization and now attend the top business schools in the nation, and we have one of my close family friends. She is an alumni of health careers, went the complete opposite direction, went to computer science, and is now an animator at DreamWorks. So I think the whole curriculum at Health Careers just sets you up for success and beyond, just because the rigorousness and the attention that you get with the faculty there.
So Sean, how many people were in your graduating class?
My graduating class was approximately 198. And even though we didn't have the big high school experience of sports and all, we all came together in various other aspects, such as science fair, history fair, Business Professionals of America, Health Occupation Students of America, all these various organizations that set you up for leadership and the careers in various different fields.
All right, Sean, thank you for the call. So smaller classes, smaller graduating classes, about 200. Is that about where you see your classes graduating, Delia McLaren over at the Young Women's Leadership Academy?
Well, we are graduating. Last year we had 37, and so this is our fourth graduating class that we have. So we are 9 years old. Our high school program is 5 years old, so we're still very, very new, and so we're very excited to be in the rankings considering how young we are. But one of the things that I would say to the point about smaller learning communities, we have found that it makes a big difference for our students when it is a small learning environment, the relationships that teachers are able to build with students, especially when they know them from 6th through 12th grade, is to the benefit of the student and to the benefit of the teachers when they're able to prescribe intervention plans for each student, because they know each student's strengths and weaknesses. It makes a big difference when it comes to academic achievement. The other thing that we all work toward, and you know, speaking during the break to my colleagues here, is that we're all working to bring these real world experiences into our schools. So when we're talking about the secret sauce, first and foremost for me, it would be the teachers. Having teachers that are going to go above and beyond what is expected. For example, I have a teacher who's planning a trip to the Dominican Republic, world history, and it's to give students that exposure that they otherwise wouldn't have. My students do not have internet access at home. They do not, many of them do not travel to the other side of San Antonio. So through our school, they're able to experience these opportunities that they otherwise wouldn't have, and they can draw from those opportunities as they learn.
So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow, about the lack of internet access for certain communities in San Antonio and how this is setting up a barrier for success.
Yes.
So just to tease for tomorrow, but I want to see, what do you have to say about that?
So what we do as a school is we keep our school open as much as we can. And I know that some of the students go to, whether it's Starbucks or anybody who has Wi-Fi for them
McDonald's.
But it's about them being very resourceful so that they can complete their work. And especially when students are doing
outside research.
But
they can't do it at
research.
Home.
No, they can't. And so they are seeking these Wi-Fi access wherever they can. Most of them stay with us at school. We do have a late bus that leaves school at 5:30. And if that bus left at 7, they would stay with me till 7.
All right. So back to the small classroom angle. Linda Burke, how small are your classrooms? Why does that make a big difference?
We average around 22 students per class. It makes a big difference. And I would say that while that is a big difference, I agree with my colleague that it is those teachers that make the difference, and the time that they put in, and the fact that they're there early, they stay late, and the fact that we offer during the day tutoring by certified teachers, and we also have beyond school hours tutoring, and like we also have the extended hours for the mm-hmm. school. When I get to work in the morning, there will have been students that have been there since 6:30.
Yes.
While parents drop them off, and easily we've got kids there till 6:30 in the evening, accessing the Wi-Fi, waiting on parents who are working. And like I said before, we have students from all over Bexar County, so many of those parents are leaving after the work hour to come there. And we are,
it's a long day for those kids.
You know, they... Mm-hmm. It is a long day. It's a long day, but I can promise you at 6:30, there are still teachers there.
And so are these kids still getting the real full high school experience? I know, Steve, that your kids can play football if they want to.
They can.
With Lee High School.
Right. Our students have access to the UIL programs through Lee High School, so we have athletes in all the major sports and all the major programs like band and choir and theater and orchestra as well. So students can have that comprehensive high school experience while enjoying the experience at the International School of the Americas.
The band and the music is real important for kids. Are they able to access that over at Health Careers and over at Young Women's Leadership Academy?
Well, my girls could play football if we had a team. They learn really fast. But we are a UIL school, but we are very limited as far as the sports that we have. Most of them are individual sports. We do have.
What level are you competing at?
We're competing at the 5A, and then for sports, we are what's considered currently an independent league. And then for academics, we are competing at the 5A.
All right. And so, but if a kid one of your students wanted to play band, what would they do?
We don't have band.
So are they able to go to another school, or they have,
no,
that's it? No band?
No, we're not set up that way.
Okay, all right. And over at Health Careers High School, how does that work?
Well, we have all the individual sports. We have tennis and swimming and diving, tennis and golf, and we actually had a swimmer and a diver go to state this year. We do compete at the 6A level. And then as far as our fine arts, we have a full fine arts, musical fine arts. We have choir and orchestra and band, not marching band, but band there, jazz band, concert band. And I will say we have one of the largest orchestras of the district. We have over 234 students in orchestra.
Wow. And how do you explain that?
Well, we have a phenomenal instructor, for one thing, but we also encourage that. We encourage the music. I think all of us could agree that students, especially people going into the medical field, they are looking for the well-rounded individual. And so we...
There are a lot of doctors that I know that are musicians also, play piano and things. All right, I'm going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll get some more of these phone calls on the air. A lot of questions about health careers, high school, International School of the Americas, Young Women's Leadership Academy. This is the creme de la creme of San Antonio. If you don't know what that means, stay tuned. You can learn. You know, we've got some educators here explain that. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Students perform better than expected in their state. Disadvantaged students perform better than the state average. State student graduation rates meet or exceed a national standard, and students are prepared for college-level coursework. These are three of the top metrics used by the U.S. News and World Report in determining what are the top high schools in the nation, in Texas and here in San Antonio. In San Antonio, they found out that the Young Women's Leadership Academy is number one. Number two is International School of the Americas. And Health Careers High School comes in third. 17 schools here in San Antonio made that list. Let's go back to the phone lines with Susanna. And Susanna, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I came in a little late, and I don't know if you... My children are at ISA, and they're required to do 120 volunteer hours outside school for graduation and 120 outside school hours as an intern in different businesses around town. And both of those were such invaluable tasks that really prepared my older son, who's a freshman in college. He did his internships, and he found out what he didn't want to do, what he might want to do. It opened his world. And then the volunteer hours, my one son ended up getting a summer job through volunteering. And these are opportunities. I don't know if we would have pushed them for that much exploration. And ISA just really opened our eyes to what a ninth grader or 10th grader can do out in their own community. And I'll take comments off the air.
All right. So internships and volunteer hours, that's required at the international school. What do you require?
As the caller mentioned, it's 120 hours of service, community service over the course of their career at ISA, and then the 120-hour career exploration internship. We actually have a full-time position that's responsible for coordinating some of the placement and reflection on some of those experiences. We also started an initiative about 4 years ago, sort of aligned with Global Youth Service Day, where our entire campus takes a day to go off-site to complete community service projects around the city of San Antonio. And I think the idea behind that is, you know, we know we create habits when we're younger. So if we create a habit of giving back to our community and our younger individuals, you know, they're likely to continue that habit. And the caller, I think, spoke very eloquently about this, like having the ability to understand what the impact of that is on our community and understand what we like or maybe how we learn better with regard to an internship experience. We think having those experiences when you're young, when there's an ability to take some safe risks around it, it gives students the ability to really understand and explore how they learn and what they like.
And Delia McElern over at the Young Women's Leadership Academy, do y'all require volunteer hours?
Yes, we require 100 hours, and they can complete those anywhere between 6th grade and 12th grade. Many of our students go over that. I have a senior right now that's completed over 500 hours. And just as was mentioned earlier by Steve, that it's important for students to get into our community. One is the opportunity for them to discover what career they possibly might go in. In the 6th grade, everybody wants to be a veterinarian. Everybody wants to go to Harvard. And as they start volunteering in the community, they're like, hey, I really enjoyed this. And that is our hope, that they go out there and find their passion. And then our responsibility is to make sure that we give them that solid foundation, not only academically, but as a person, that they can step foot on any campus and succeed.
Got an email question from Todd. What happens to students who cannot keep up with the accelerated curriculum at these schools? Linda Burke at Health Careers High School. You expect high academic achievements there.
We do. But my colleagues and I were discussing during the break the fact that the key is our teachers. and also the extra things that we, you know, that we support with our tutoring and.
But do students flunk out?
It's very seldom, and that's usually a parental choice.
Okay, so this is just not too much. You're asking too much.
Well,
of these
sometimes
kids.
That is one of the things that the parents decide it's not the right choice. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we differ from the other two schools is we do not require all of our students to take AP courses. While the majority of ours do take all or many AP courses, we look at the fact that maybe that's not for everyone. Maybe someone's interest is not in a particular area. We don't know, because we're almost 30% economically disadvantaged, we don't know what the children's responsibility is at home. So therefore, that is a parent and student choice that they make that decision with their counselors.
Okay, let's go to Kate. Hey, Kate, welcome to The Source. You're on the air, Kate.
Hi, thank you for taking my question.
Okay.
I wanted to ask your guests how they would envision opportunities such as those available on their campuses for other students in San Antonio who, of course, would not be able to attend because of just the small select numbers that they're able to serve. So in other words, how do you expand these kinds of really great opportunities to the wider population of students in San Antonio and maybe even incubate some of these ideas to spread to some of the larger schools and districts?
Okay, Kate, great question. So that makes me think, do we know how much we're spending on each student and on these campuses compared to how much we're spending on each student at other campuses here in San Antonio? Has anyone looked at those numbers?
Per capita,
yeah.
We spend $2,000 less on students at YWLA than we do when you compare it to the district and the state.
You're spending less?
Less, yes.
How is that?
Well, funny thing happened. We received this award, I would say, about 2 years ago, and I'd never heard of it. And it was the Honor Schools, the Texas Honor School. I think it was a circle. I don't remember the exact title, but it was from the State Comptroller's Office. And they were recognizing us for doing more with less. So I don't know whether to be happy or sad, because, you know, we're always short on funding in our schools. But you know, that mantra, we do whatever it takes, and whether it means we're selling candy bars so that we can get AP study guides for our students, we're going to do it. So when it comes to
there's also a thing on your website where people can donate money to you.
Yes, yes. And those donations go toward many different programs. We have college trips. Our district has stepped in this year to fund college trips because, again, to my point earlier, it's important for students to step foot on a college campus to make sure it's a good fit. But when it comes to spending, it's not about buying the latest program. It's not about trying the latest trend. It's about what you're hearing here is having the best teachers on our campuses that are going to be committed to the mission of the school. And for me, I know that our teachers are doing whatever it takes, as was mentioned earlier, long hours after school, Saturday school, meeting parents, sometimes at a McDonald's, to have a study session. So it's all of these practices that come into play, but it wouldn't happen without the best teachers.
But I've been to other schools here in San Antonio, not the top ones like you, but these are teachers they're passionate. They work hard. They give all they have to those kids, and still they're not coming up with the results that you have. You know, and so that makes me scratch my head and stroke my chin and wonder what's happening here. There are great teachers all over.
Yes.
So what am I missing here, Steve?
I mean, I think there are some structural things at ISA that exist that create community around the relationships that students and teachers are able to develop and that we're able to develop with our community. So at our four grade levels, our teachers are teamed at the four grade levels. So when I think about the number of adult contacts that a student makes, they are known by at least four teachers in their core team. And so, you know, those things that, you know, would maybe create a situation where a student would slip through the cracks. If there's a teacher that notices that, or an adult that knows that student really well, I think we prevent some of those things. And I think that creates some of our success, because kids trust our teachers and we're able to create then those rigorous experiences, those relevant experiences that allow them to achieve.
Are your students, they still have to take the tax and all those other things?
They are required, yes.
And those teachers still have to deal with all that paperwork that all the other teachers have to deal with?
I'm doing it right now, Algebra 1
yes.
Today.
All of us.
Yep. almost do.
So what do you think, Linda Burke? How can we take what's happening, the magic, bottle it up and put it in the vending machines all across the schools?
I think one of the things that is a huge factor is that these students are coming there because they've applied. They want to be there. And we are not, we have the blessing, and I do believe it is a blessing, of a very low mobility rate. You asked me earlier how many students come and go. We lose very few students each year, and we don't accept students during the middle of the year. I think that is a huge factor. I would like to comment briefly on your question before. I've been an academic dean at a Title I school, and you're absolutely correct. While the scores may not be the scores we enjoy, those teachers are working very, very hard. If I were to look at one factor, I would think it would be the mobility rate. Very frequently, those teachers might have as high as 38-40% of the students they begin the school year with are not the students they end the school year with. So to say those people work very hard would be an understatement.
So did y'all have a celebration or anything, Delia, over at Young Women's Leadership Academy?
We didn't have a celebration. We sent it out, and our parents were very excited, and our parents are a big part of our success. They're very involved in their students' education. But for us, we just have to keep going, and time is flying right now. I don't know how many days are left. But I did want to comment that it's important to focus on the culture of our campus. I always hear my girls talk about that it feels like a family, that there's a sisterhood. So whether it's a ninth grade student serving as a big sister to a sixth grader, or whether it's our parents having different events, we have parent councils for every grade. It's about all of us being a family. Just last week, we were celebrating our Fiesta Loteria night, and it was a sold-out event, but it's because our parents are a huge part of what we're doing.
Young Women's Leadership Academy came in number one at the U.S. News and World Report Best High School Rankings for San Antonio. Also, number two, International School of the Americas, NEISD, and the Health Careers High School, NISD. Thank y'all so much for joining us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is produced by Kim Johnson, Jan Ross Piedad, and David Martin Davies. Management and oversight provided by News Director Shelley Koffler, and production assistance is provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation and the GAC Health Foundation.